the river, and he hastily climbed aboard. Clambering up, his eye caught a movement near the bottom of the short ladder. The scaly, spade-shaped head of a huge water moccasin emerged above the water, and the two deep-set eyes gazed blankly into his. The utter depth of feeling made the short hairs bristle at the nape of his neck.
Oh, goddammit, go left, you gaudy bastard bitch!
Open her up!
She's open wider than a LoJack horse legs already!
You gotta do better than just getting us halfway into the water, because we got company down the bank. Five of... no, six. Seven!
Hennings leveled his gray Heckler & Koch submachine gun, steadying the drum magazine on the side of the swamp wagon.
Hold fire! We already stole their buggy. Let them deal the first hand. See what they're holding.
Christie shaded her eyes with her hand, peering toward the men silhouetted against the elusive sun as it broke through the clouds.
Nothing much. Nothing automatic. The one on the left with the scarf around his head has some kind of long blaster. He's thumbing back on a sort of hammer.
Shall I waste them all, Ryan?
Henning stood to take aim. The buggy was very close to the belt of sycamores that lined the far side of the river. Another 10 seconds or so, and they'd be under their cover.
No, hold it, Hen. There might be hundreds of the double poor bastards around here on both sides of the water.
Ha ha! I'll just warn them some.
Hennings braced himself and squeezed the trigger. The blaster was set on continuous, and a stream of bullets flowed out. It kicked up a line of spray a few paces from the watching men. Finnegan glanced over his shoulder.
Woohoo! Teach them suckers not to fuck with us!
Finn's enthusiasm made the swamp wag veer alarmingly to one side, nearly sending Hennings toppling into the water.
One of them's got a blaster aimed!
Fuck him!
Hennings waved his hand derisively toward the group of natives, clenching his fist in a power salute. Ryan watched the men pick themselves up after Hennings' burst of fire and scatter. All but the one Christie noticed, he stood stock still, a long rifle at his shoulder, rock steady. There was something menacing about the man's deadly calm. There was the look about him of someone who knew precisely what he was doing, not frightened by the shattering effects of the fire from the buggy. Ryan could almost feel himself inside the man's skull, considering the windage, the elevation, the drift, the distance. Ryan turned toward Hennings, tasting the immediacy of the danger like cold steel on his tongue.
Get down, Hen!
The tall black glanced sideways at him, the smile of triumph still on his lips. From the corner of his eye, Ryan spotted the puff of gray powder smoke as it billowed from the muzzle of the long gun.
Shit.
JB, nearest to Hennings, caught the man as he folded into his arms, blood gushing from the back of his head. Finnegan, half-standing, lost control of the swamp wag for a moment, sending it skittering sideways down the river.
No, you gaudy mother!
Keep on it, Finn!
Ryan sprayed the man on the bank with his blaster, getting a vicious satisfaction from seeing three or four of them go down, kicking and jerking. But the man with the musket had reached the safety of the fringe of low scrub. The buggy jolted and tipped as it reached the far side of the river and moved up the sloping bank. The six wheels worked independently, grinding over the tangled roots of the bayous. Mud and water splashed up off the huge tires. The moment they were totally undercover, Finnegan kicked the engine to a stop, letting it idle and die in a grinding of gears. Vaulting off his seat, he got back to where JB still cradled Hennings.
How is he?
Finnegan and Hennings had ridden with the trader for some years. They'd both seen a lot of deaths. Both of them knew the answer to Finn's question. The leaden ball had struck the man just above the right eye, leaving a neat dark hole from which a little blood seeped, bright scarlet against the skin. The exit hole was huge. A chunk of skull the size of a man's fist had been punched out in jagged fragments, blood and brain slopping all over the bottom of the buggy. Christie, Laurie, and Doc stood helplessly by, looking down at the felled man. Laurie was crying silently, her shoulders shaking, tears sliding down her smooth cheeks, pattering into the spreading pool of blood. Henning's eyes were open, blinking in shock. Though the brain damage was clearly terminal, a shred of life still remained, and amazingly, Hennings was still conscious. His eyes sought Finnegan, fighting to focus on the red face of his oldest friend. Finnegan leaned over the dying man.
I'm here, Hen.
Going dark, Finn.
Yeah, maybe a storm on the way.
What was he shooting?
Some fucking musket from the cave taste.
Damn. Good shooting.
Yeah. Not fucking bad, friend.
Not far to the west, there was a dazzling burst of sheet lightning.
Does this mean what I think it does?
It does.
Henning's eyes remained open, but life slipped away, leaving them blank and empty. As the first heavy drops of rain began to fall about them, Finnegan lowered his head. For nearly 2 hours, the rains came pounding down, so hard that it was impossible to move. There was a stained brown tarpaulin inside the swamp wag that they managed to pull up over themselves, keeping the worst of the storm off. But even then, the rain was so devastating that it seeped through the canvas in a fine spray, soaking them all. Water collected in the bottom of the buggy, diluting the blood from Henning's corpse, turning the crimson to pink. It was the worst storm that Ryan Cotter had ever experienced. It wasn't the Banshee gales, he'd heard those farther north in the Deathlands, but the lightning and thunder were almost continuous, pounding at the ears until the senses began to totter. The rain swept in, seeming at times as if it were a solid shroud of tumbling water. J.B. stuck his head from under the tarpaulin, taking care to remove his glasses first, trying to see if there was any sign of the storm abating. He pulled back a few seconds later.
Can't breathe. Drown out there in open air. That's the trouble. No damned air, just water.
Can't last forever, can it?
By the time the rain eased to a persistent drizzle, the noise of the thunder drifting inland, it was close to dusk. The purple-black clouds remained, hiding the setting sun. During the 2 hours, Finnegan hardly spoke. Not that conversation was easy above the noise of the thunder and the drumming of the monsoon on the stretched canvas sheet. He sat, his head in his hands, beside Henning's corpse. He ignored all attempts to console him. Only Ryan's words about having iced several of the natives seemed to cheer him at all. For some time, Ryan had worried that their attackers might be creeping around, readying an ambush. But the experience of the armorer convinced him that as long as the rains lasted, they were safe. But now it was quieting.
J.B., what do you reckon?
Go.
Where?
Same way we said before Hen bought the farm.
South. That's the way the blacktop was going. Move until it gets dark?
Yeah. Stay in the swamp wag. Best chance we got. It's noisy as a butchered sticky, but it can go over any kind of land and water. We got the blasters to hold anyone off. Go south, and then find a good defensive position for the night. That's the way I see it.
Sounds like a plan.
Henning's sudden death had depressed Ryan, made him question what he was doing as the leader of the group. When the traitor had walked off into the night and never returned, he had handed over the command of the party to Ryan. And what had Ryan done with it? Taken a handful of comrades on a crazy expedition through a Matran's gateway. Then, in only a few days, three of the original eight were lost. Tall, sullen-faced Oki, one of the top blasters, a girl who kept her own counsel. Hunniker, with her cropped green hair and her incessant taste for anyone of either sex at any time. And now Hennings. Fighting the lethargy of depression, Ryan threw back the tarpaulin, standing and stretching. He tasted the flatness of iron on his tongue, carried on the drizzling rain. There was also a sharp hint of gasoline in the air.
We're gonna move.
What about Hen?
If Finn hadn't been there, Ryan probably would have dumped the body over the side of the swamp wag into the